This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Monday night, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, SONA, will have the opening concert of the first full SONA season. The concert takes place at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. On the program, a cello concerto composed by Elgar. Sophie Kidd, a musician and composer and a brand new voice to Ozarks at Large, is with me to talk about the piece. Sophie, welcome to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you so much.
You have told me that you are just fascinated with this Elgar cello concerto.
Yes, I am. I love this piece. It's one of the most famous cello concertos ever. Actually, to be entirely honest, it's the Dvorak is the first one, and then the second one is this one, the Elgar. It's just a cornerstone of the solo cello repertoire, and it's a highly concentrated piece, unlike any other ever written for the instrument.
I trust there's a story that goes behind the work?
Yeah, of course there's a story. I mean, there's always a good story behind things like that. And it's probably the work of Elgar's with the most universal appeal. The story behind it captures all the sadness, the pain, the destruction that the war left. And
we're talking Europe, 1918.
Yes.
After a time, up to that point, it was the most widespread, destructive war humankind had ever seen.
Exactly. So imagine this. It's 1918, as you said, the aftermath of World War I. Just think about the scale of disaster, anguish, destruction. People had never thought that such apocalyptic devastation was ever possible to happen. So Elgar was one of them. He was disillusioned by the war. He actually wrote to a friend of his, Sir Sidney Colvin, "I cannot do any real work with the awful shadow over us." But in May of 1918, he moved with his wife at Bringwells, a cottage in Sussex, England. And he loved the countryside and the landscapes, and he was born in a small village. So he was deeply affected by the surroundings, and he started to recover. So in August of that year, 1918, he surprised his family by announcing that he wanted one of his pianos, an upright Steinway, to be installed at the cottage. He had gotten the idea of composing the cello concerto. So he started using this innovative, I would say, rhythms for the time, like the 9/8 melody that he actually used in the concerto. And then he just wanted to have four movements instead of three, which is extremely unusual. The conductor, Landon Ronald, paid a visit to him, and Elgar just played some passages from the concerto on the piano. Some days later, the concerto's first soloist, the cellist Felix Salmond, went over to his place to try out the work on the cello, and we have the first document here from Elgar's wife, who noted in her diary that Felix Salmond is most delighted and very enthusiastic.
Elgar is confident. He has had the reassurance of colleagues and musicians. How does the premiere go?
It didn't go well. The premiere was the one that opened the first post-war season of the London Symphony Orchestra at the prestigious Queen's Hall. That's a very important thing. That was really important for Elgar. Elgar just didn't have sufficient rehearsal time.
It is at times a dark, complicated work, and that may not be what the first audience of post-war Britain wanted to hear.
And expect. One of the reviews in the British Observer said, "The orchestra was often virtually inaudible, and when audible, was merely a muddle." We have to understand that Elgar's conception of the concerto form is totally different to that of the majority of composers. Because with Elgar, a concerto is not a public oration. It's not a pyrotechnic display. It's just a psychological poem.
The premiere doesn't go well, but as you have mentioned, it's become a cornerstone of certainly 20th century music. Do you mind walking us through this piece?
Everything begins with just two insistent chords.
Mm-hmm.
which reminds us of funeral. That's why many people were surprised and, you know, disturbed. There is a gentle answer from the strings, the clarinets, and the horns.
And that's the, and so that's the first movement.
Yeah,
that's I mean, very bold, complicated opener.
Exactly. And Elgar gives us an even more animated second theme in 12/8 time now. I mean, he just goes on and he just wants to take even more risks here. He begins a dialogue between strings and woodwinds, which talks about the house that Elgar moved in to write this piece, which is a brief pastoral interlude, which resembles a memory of happier days, perhaps. Then we have a different story about the third movement. When he was young, he visited Leipzig, like most of his fellow composers at that time, and he heard a lot of Schumann. We have Schumann-esque echoes haunting the lovingly shaped melody of the third movement. And then we have the unexpected fourth movement, the one that shouldn't even exist, you know, according to the tradition of the times. And this is just, in my opinion, is a musical struggle. The orchestra here is just swaggering, and the cello must make its way in the surroundings, you know, so... So we have the first movement theme reappears, a moment of consolation, perhaps, and then the cellist takes up the works opening chords and gives a cry of despair. And this is like nothing else in music.
So you have this opening movement that's an audible depiction of the shadow of war. Then you have this second movement with that's somewhat brighter, remembering his days at the cottage. Then this Schumann-inspired third movement, and then this, as you put it, struggle. This musical struggle in the fourth, this has to be not an easy piece.
No, it's not an easy piece. It's like behind each movement, a story, and it's a strong story.
So you have this opening movement that's an audible depiction of the shadow of war. Then you have this second movement with that's somewhat brighter, remembering his days at the cottage. Then this Schumann-inspired third movement, and then this, as you put it, struggle. This musical struggle in the fourth, this has to be not an easy piece.
No, it's not an easy piece. It's like behind each movement, a story, and it's a strong story. And, you know, it's funny because people expected a virtuosic concerto back then in 1919 when the premiere was... when it was the premiere of the concerto, but they didn't fully realize that this is actually a virtuosic concerto. You know, we have the sadness, we have lament, we have despair. Everything is just so musical, but there is this insane virtuosic cello part, which is certainly a challenge for a cellist to perform.
Sophie Kidd, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, too.